Lora Winterpause. Vom 23. Dezember bis zum 2. Januar ist das Radio Lora in der Winterpause. Und wir erwärmen die kalten Stunden mit Juwelen aus unserem Archiv.
Vacaciones de invierno de Lora. Radio Lora se va de vacaciones. Del 23 de diciembre hasta el 2 de enero, Lora hará una pausa invernal. Pero te calentamos las horas frías con joyas de nuestro archivo.
Lora Winter Break. From the 23rd of December to the 2nd of January, Radio Lora is on winter break. And we warm up the cold hours with tunes from our archive.
Everyone, you are listening to my Garcer's edition of Talk 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 Broken Cryons. In this edition, three LGBTQI plus indigenous and activists will dig more deeper in the concept of broken cryons within indigenous communities. We recorded this episode on 25 of May 2024 with Shanet Clemings, Ahu Oskur Sen, and Rhea Morgado. We hope you can enjoy.
And welcome to our next other episodes of Talk Talk Talk, The Broken Cryons. Who are indigenous people or ethnic minorities? According to the documents from the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, it is estimated that there are more than 370 million indigenous people spread across 70 countries worldwide. Practicing unique traditions, they retain social, cultural, economic, and political characteristics that are distinct from those of the dominant societies in which they live spread across the world. Indigenous people are the holder of unique languages, knowledge system, and beliefs, and possess invaluable knowledge of practice for sustainable management of natural resources. In other hand, a comprehensive new study found that many LGBTQIA people continue to face discrimination in their personal lives, in the workplace, and public sphere, and in their communities, and etc. Many indigenous people who are member of LGBTQIA plus face discrimination both from mainstream society and from within their own communities or ethnic groups. By the way, my name is Rhea Morgado. I am a transgender and a Manobo tribe from the Philippines, and I am your moderator. I am with two amazing guests. We have Shanet Clemings, a resilient force from Jamaica with the tribal community Maroon, fearlessly embraced her transgender identity. At 35 years old, she exudes intelligence and domination, living by powerful mantra, I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. With unwavering resolve, Shanet defies limitations, proving that strength knows no bound. That's Shanet. And I am also with Ahu Oskur Sen, born and raised in Kurdistan, a transgender Kurdish queer activist. She belongs to Sayyid and Dudiran tribes, migrated to Switzerland 18 months ago due to some family and other issues. Currently, Ahu is involved in numerous number of queer activist collectives and continue to do social rights activity. How are you?
Good.
And you?
Thank you.
Yes. So, we are talking about our community, no? We found our community here in Switzerland. We have our LGBT organization. But before we found our community, we are from our own diaspora and our own community as well. So here, we will be discussing more about our experience. Our experience at the same time, our testimony of how we managed to survive. in this society. So, who are we? Now, let's start with Ahu.
Thank you. And thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. And thanks a lot to invite me here. And I'm so happy to find my community in Switzerland because for me, it's new, actually. And before 18 months, I come here and I find too much community. And it's make me feel so, so happy and so, so comfortable. Thanks a lot.
And Shanette?
My name is Shanette. Thank you for having me here. Thank you for making this happening. I really like to thank everyone for coming also. I have found my, how should I say, my community here, which is transgender community. I'm not a lot involved, but I would like to be more involved, so.
Yes, so now we will be discussing about like, for me, my experience here is like, at first, I have struggled with the language, with the culture, and then since in the transgender community, it's like open arms, no? Like they are welcoming us of who we really are, and then we managed to to share our experience in our own home country or diaspora. So like our experience of belongingness of their community. And how? And you, Ahu?
Actually, I thought a bit difficult to explain about it, but I will try to explain to as much as I can, because that's my father's side and my mother's side, too much different tribes. And my father's side are people from Namodik and Dueran tribe who have migrated from tribe to tribe and indefinite intervals for centuries and whose only source of income is animal husbandry. It's a large tribe knows for its feudal, is oppressive, harsh, attitudes, and rulers. My mother's side is from the Said tribe, which believes that they are descendants of the prophet. Said is a title given to people who come from the descendants of Prophet Ali and Fatima, which means honorable and holy blessed, coming from a noble lineage. They are conservative and live a life intervened with religion and live their lives according to religion rulers. Being a member of both tribes and adapting to their living conditions and rulers, it's a bit challenging. Having a feudal family structure on the one hand and Islamic family view that's completely segregated from the outside world. On the other hand, is of course much more challenging for queers because the sections and methods on both sides are not based or anything scientific, and they are using their own methods.
So in every, in every like traditions or even in our ethnicity, because I am from the Manubu tribe in the Philippines. We have a lot of indigenous people. There's always be a restriction. No, there's always a restriction. Just happened, the Manubu tribe, we are the environmental keepers. We have, like, my grandmother is a Babaylan. A Babaylan are the environmental keepers. So they do all the rituals for healing, believing only four elements. Because pre-colonially, Philippines is full of different traditions. Like, we are always relying on environment, the earth, water, fire, and the air. So it's, so we do like that. So when my grandmother told me, like, Rhea, you need to be, to follow or to continue the legacy. Though I am born in the colonial times, because for 333 years, Philippines is colonialized by Spain. So this tribal or this Manubu tribe is slowly deteriorating, it's missing. But there are some few few Manubu tribes continue to do the pre-colonial practices and everything. So Manubu tribe, we don't have pronouns, we don't have she, her. We use siya, sila. I mean to say, if you introduce people or in our tribe, we say this person. And then later you will say, is a girl or a boy. But we don't have like, we are more like queer, the fluidity. And for the Manubu tribe, our Babaylans are women or priestess. No, then we have also men. If this lineage is they don't have women, so they can pass it on to a man, but this man should wear a female attire because as a babaylan, as a keeper, you need to be a motherly, no whole embrace. And we always emerge ourselves with these four elements. So that's how our tribe. Though there's a difficulty within the acceptance of community when you say, hey, I am a transgender or I'm a girl, and then you are not in the line of the babaylan side. So it's another, it's another discriminations happening in our community. And how about in your community?
In my community, it's very different. I'm from Jamaica. I don't know how many people have ever been or heard of it. It's very homophobic, the culture. Based off the music and, they made a song about homophobic back in the days, which was Bond and stuff. So, and I'm coming from the Maroon background, which my family is from. But in these Maroon communities, they're Christians and apostles and all of these things. So basically, you are considered a man or a woman. So for me, I wanted to perceive as a girl. So it was very difficult for me growing up in a homophobic country, being transgender. Well, at that time, I didn't know who I was then. But yeah, but now I came to Switzerland. I find my true identity. I found very good people who I'm close to here as well. So for me, it's not that heavy anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, but of course I remember when we talk about, like, we have almost the same experience when my aunt were like, we need to pray over you because we want to change you.
Like in the church, my parents have spent a lot of money bringing me to psychologists, going to church. They're taking out the gay out of me, and all of these things. So it's like they're trying to suppress this personality that wants to come up. But for me, the more I grew, it's the more this personality just want to come out. So I let it out.
Yes. So the other hand, like how we manage not to survive in that kind of society, like depriving us to come out of who we really are. No.
Actually, that's for in Turkish society and community, that's for difficult too much for Eastern Turkey or for Kurdistan. That's for queer people is too much difficult because that's the Turkish people say it's the all LGBTQ+ come to from Kurdistan. The old Kurdish people say it's LGBTQ+ come to from Turkey. And they never understand about the they are just queer and they're just everywhere.
In Jamaica, they have a lot of NGOs for like transgender, gay, queer people and stuff. They have Jamaica Hate Support for Life. They have Red Cross. They have JFLAG, which they use as support to, like, they use these spaces as a safe space for the people who can't go to the doctor for HIV medications and stuff like that. So they have like this private place where they can go, nobody looking at them, nobody knows their business. So they have these little organizations where that help, but not in every way, it can help.
Yes, I understand a lot. And for same for Turkey and Kurdistan, just in Istanbul, there's have something like this, that you can take some supports and something else. But for other old city, there's never have something like this. When you go to hospital, when in your family, you talk about something yourselves, and you never can find something. Just for some cities, there's have something like this.
Because like also in the Philippines, though we don't have law supporting LGBT, people will say like, no, it's tolerable, people are tolerating it, but there is no documents or law passed to support or to help for LGBT. So we always do the underground moves to acquire all those programs that, like for example, in healthcare. No, they don't have programs. Though right now in this level, this moment, there are some organizations and NGOs helping, like the Pink Cross and other organizations helping transgenders and LGBT organization in the Philippines. But if we're talking about defending or standing up with LGBT, for now, it's nothing yet.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. Actually, I want to tell something that about Turkey and Kurdistan countries and communities, people and society. Being trans and Kurdish society is very difficult in many respects. In this situation, it's valid for almost all Kurdish LGBTQ people. Unfortunately, it's possible for no one to want to communicate with you and to be subjected to this bullying in the family among close relatives, friends, and wherever you may be. In this situation, when there is no alternative such as leaving your location or something similar, it's possible to be treated with death or other things. In the societies of Turkey and Kurdistan, there are always discourses such as we should not have trans, homosexual, gay imposts.
Yes, true. You know, bullying is more highlight though in our transgender, you know, community as well. The bullying and telling us about our identity is also rampant in our community.
It's just like in Jamaica, if a man should go to the police station and say I got raped, it's not written down because it's not valid in the country. You're not supposed to be that. So they're not going to take your statements. They laugh at you and put you out.
Then especially like when you were like in the Philippines, there was one incident during the pandemic. Like, okay, all family, you will receive food packs. But for this LGBT community, no. Because they were not recognized as family as well. So that is the deep struggles that we are facing, no?
And that's why you have these NGOs that helps to give them food and, you know, all of these things as well.
But you don't need to be visible. Because if you are visible, the government will run after you.
Let you know, just now I said all the Turkish people said the LGBTQ plus come to from Kurdistan. And for the Kurdistan, all the people said LGBTQ plus come to from the Turkey. But they never understand that about this causes people to see their or ethnic identity as a superior identity by separating the society, denigration, and other identity throughout active identity and community racism.
Yes. Actually, racism is rampant as well in our tribe and in our country. No. At the same time, it's also disturbing. No, because it's like making us, putting us into a box that, okay, this is only you.
Yeah.
No, we cannot like spread our wings and fly or express our feeling as who we really are.
We are subjected to be this.
Yeah. Yes, the fact that a part of the society sees the immoral, sinful, or evil and tries to separate it brings transphobia and homophobia to a point that difficult to stop very, very quickly. Unfortunately, societies with low education levels, the situation grows much faster and causes greater torture.
Yes, I also agree with that because like we always eat on breakfast, lunch, and dinner the word immorality. When we go outside wearing our own identity, like they are immoral, you go to hell. Or somebody will bring you a Bible and pray over you like, hey!
Still you are here and you are great. I believe that.
Yeah, so like you know, our stories is something like a crayons. Like we are full of experiences, different colors. No, like even though we came from or we tell our stories back home in our past experiences, but it's also amazing. Like we have yellow, the green, and other colors. But it's somehow like I really don't know, but I really want also to find out how do you feel if we break the crayon? So what is the significance? Like, for me, I really feel like I was trapped in a long tunnel. No, it's if you watch this movie titled "Remember," Broken Crayons Color 2, it's something like, you know, disturbing within yourself, like questioning or asking you like, how am I? This is a questions of to recall and to collect all your past experiences. So I want to hear from your word, of course, the one of the director of that film.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, a lot of us feels broken, you know, and at the end of the day, we may be broken, but we still color beautifully, you know? So, and how I came up with the title for the movie and stuff was, it's like I was in a dream and I was going through a lot, and my grandma came in the dream. And like, she just specifically told me, remember Broken Koreans, color too. And it's like, from that day, just written in my head. So some of the times when I'm at my lows, or when we are at our lows, we should remember that we still color as well. Yeah.
And how about you, Ahu?
Actually, it's about me. Like you, like Shani said, it's make me feel, I remember too much memories about my life when you are broken these colors. And that's also, I remember that because that's, I start for working when I was 11 years old, and I meet too much people that's with too much color, and too much different place with a lot of people. And I believe that if we have to be careful for all the colors, for black, for white, for red, for yellow, not for just some colors, because that's, for the world, that all colors too much important. Just, I don't know, just for me, I want to be careful for every colors.
Yes. And yeah, it's for me as well, it's like colors everywhere. As what my the Babay lands or my grandmothers told me, everything has a color. No? So how many times you were banded or like one color cut, still the same color. You melt it and it's still the same color. No? So like I always remember like it's really painful to be broken, but it's also our starting point of healing.
Some of the times when we broke, that's when we see our strength, you know?
Yes.
And that's why I always say I was not built to be break, because I didn't know my own strength. So we may be broken sometimes and messed up and down there, but I know that when some of us say we get up very strongly. So
yes.
For me, that's what it represents.
Same here, like, you know, we gather together with different colors of experiences. And this is also the time that we also unite ourselves to fight and to continue in the levels of from the pain to healing. No? And then at the same time, this is also a testimony of our survival from all the past experiences that we encounter. And this we can also see how what is the impact of discrimination within the community. So in our journey from all the brokenness that we have or we experience, what is the impact of discrimination within our community that we encounter?
What we encounter every day is like people telling us, you know, we should be boy, we're not girl. They always try to, as you say, put us in a box, put us, title us. You know, some of us don't want to be titled. Some of us just want to be, you know. So, like, there's a lot of discrimination in every day, but it's just for you as a person to just pull through it. Because for me, if I had looked at all the eyes and all the looks and listened to every statement that throws at me, I wouldn't be sitting right here today.
For me, yes, I will say, but actually, you know, I told you before that talking about that it's make me feel so different, but I will try it again. This, in recent years, threats of torture, open killing, and cycle violence have a big increase in Turkish and Kurdistan societies. This situation continues to reach different levels every day. The current political government trying to turn all forms of freedom of expression into restrictions, throws cycle violence, paper gas, torture. But I can say that memory about torture has not been lost. Is it just that torture methods have begun to increase? When you go out the street or sit anywhere, there is a high probability that you will experience all these threats. This situation has been going on in recent years. By using the political powers, newspapers, all kinds of media or religion to provoke the whole society under the name of the Big Family March. and try to turn against LGBT activists. Considering the increasing violence and pressure in recent years, they seem to have achieved their goals. Frankly, this is a very scary situation.
Yes. Facing all those horrors,
no? And all those attacks.
Yeah.
And actually, this is for the 2100 years, that's it's horrible still, because I guess for the all Middle East countries, still it's the same. Not so different for all LGBTQ plus people. I can say for myself, I'm so lucky for come to here. Actually, that's still try to come to here. It's too much difficult for me. It's not so easy. I had 3 weeks so bad on the way. But I'm here right now. I'm so happy for myself. But I know that too much people there's like me. There live in there. There's have no healthcare, and there's have no any alternative. That's I'm so sad about them. But still, I'm here now. I can do something for them from here.
Yeah, it's just like in Jamaica when you're about to go outside. Like for me, with my experience, if I'm going out with friends, we can't go out together. We have to go out separately because some people are more feminine than some, and then the attention will draw to the others. And just one look, you get an attack. If it's not a gun, it's a knife or a gang coming at you. So, like, for me leaving, it was like looking back at it now, I don't regret my decision because some of the times I keep asking myself, what if I was still there? Would I still be alive? You know, because when they say they're coming for you, they're going to come for you, for real. So, like, I am glad that I had the opportunity to leave also where I could embrace my true self, and I'm happy about that. And, yeah, we just have to keep it moving.
Yes, because, you know, that is one of the characteristics that LGBTQIA+, possess, because they have this courage, to face all the negative attacks and etc. Because like for me, I am the first transgender journalist who is attacking, on the radio, like as a commentator, and they're like, oh yeah. So I listen, I open my lines for communications live on radio, asking their situation in their communities. And they're reporting us a lot of police brutality, even their communities, even battered LGBT members, even the child as well. And then after my radio program, I went outside my booth and like I received a lot of stone attacks, and people are hitting me. Yeah. So like the feelings like I should survive. I need to continue. And then one of the greatest experiences that I have when I was kicked out in one of the radio station, because like according to some reports, like the police, this government or this local government is reporting my show because I am spreading about stories of LGBT. But those stories are valid. We're talking about violence. We're talking about attacks. We're talking about issues. And in the level of legal matters, we cannot, because we don't have law defending and protecting those LGBT people, but still, we are humans. No,
they know that there's no law. That's why they are kick off doing it.
Yes, that's the truth. So that's why we are pushing into, and now the LGBT radio station still goes on. We continue to survive, but this is like an example. No, like even me, I experience a lot of attacks every time that I do my shows and programs. So we always face this kind of discrimination. That's why when I arrive in Switzerland, like another environment, but the people, the smile of their faces, and then the heart of welcoming, though not all, because we also face discriminations as well. So in this country, but at least we are free to open ourselves.
It's more like you're free to, you won't get attacked, but you still get the look, you still get the, all of that, but it feels more safe where you can breathe. Yeah. I explained to my psychologist that she wouldn't even understand what it means to walk freely. like just to walk freely without looking behind your back. You go get attacked. It's like,